Good evening. This is Rabbi Maevsky. The parasha, of course, is a very difficult one. The whole Sefer Vayikra is a very difficult one. In fact, the Abarbanel made a point of saying that he wrote his Perushim on all of Chumash, skipping Vayikra, because he felt he did not understand it well enough until he finished writing his Perush on Bamidbar and Devarim, and then he felt secure enough to write his Perush on Vayikra. And of course, we know the last thing we get interested as children is in all the karbonas. But what's the reason for the Mishkan? What is the reason for, it seems obvious, but the reality is not so obvious. What is the reason for the Mishkan, and what is the reason for the karbonas itself? Now, we finished off Parshas Pekudei with a very interesting finish. And what I mean by that is when we get near the end of the parasha, everything has been completed in terms of the workmanship. And Moshe takes a look at everything, and the pasuk ends, I believe, by Shishi, and it says, Vayivarech Osam Moshe. And Moshe blessed all the workers and everything that they did. But then after that, it goes on for a whole aliyah and says, Then Moshe inspected this, the Aron, and the Shulchan, and the menorah, and it says, Vayaske chol asher tzivah Hashem es Moshe. And it goes on paragraph by paragraph and saying that they did everything. Did we just finish all of that when we said, Vayivarech Osam Moshe? What is the need for doing that? And the answer is really a very basic one. And when we go, sometimes somebody needs a bracha from a Rebbe, or, you know, we want to get a blessing from somebody to solve a problem, to help us with a refuah. But that doesn't mean that it happened at that time. It's already done. We go for a bracha first. And when it says, Vayivarech Osam Moshe, it's that Moshe blessed them. And the reason he did, because while all the workmanship seems very sound on the surface to look at it, and it looks perfect, but it comes the next step. And the next step is something very basic, again, is putting it together. A lot of times we could look at, you take a puzzle and everything is cut or everything is made. You take a box and you have to put something together. And the box has all the pieces, and you're assuming that everything is done properly. And then you put it together, and sometimes you find that something just doesn't work properly. And now Moshe had to look, and when he put it up in the Shivas Yimei Miluim, he takes it apart, puts it up for 7 days running until this is all these dress rehearsals so that everybody could learn from it. He goes ahead and he puts it together. That is when Moshe knew and Bnei Yisrael knew that everything was done properly at the end. And what was that crowning moment when it says, Vayechase Anon Es HaMishkan, when God's Spirit came down and rested upon the Mishkan, the Shekhinah came down in a cloud, and then everybody knew that if God was serene and let his Shekhinah rest in the Mishkan, it was not only complete, but it was done properly, and they would be forgiven for the Chet HaEgel. Of course, we know that we are told that the actual completion of the Mishkan was done on Chofei Kislev, but the inauguration wasn't until Nisan. Imagine how they're sitting on pins and needles, waiting to find out if the Mishkan was done properly. And why, in fact, would Moshe wait until all this time, or wait for Hashem to give him the signal for the inauguration on Chodesh Nisan? And that's, once again, a very interesting point, which is very simply that Nisan was, again, the anniversary, a one-year anniversary that they had now been in the Midbar. But it also tells them something. What do we do when we sit down at the Seder table after the Manishtana? The first thing we say is, Avodim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. A year ago today, we were slaves in Egypt. Throughout their journey in the Midbar, every once in a while, the Jews complain that they would, when something goes wrong, Nitno Rosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayim or Zacharnu Es Hadagosh or Nochal B'Mitzrayim Chinam. We remember all these wonderful things. And Moshe is trying to stress to them that, think about it. 1 year ago today, you were slaves. Avodim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. You had a bigger problem. Are things better today than they were a year ago? Absolutely. You have problems. And that's why at the end of the parsha, what do we say when we finish every chumash? But when we say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, it's not for the past. We're saying chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek for the future. And what I mean by that is, once again, something very real. And that is, while they were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim, and now they've had relatively, even though Moshe has told them all the mitzvot that they will have to do, they'll have to practice, but they haven't yet got around, they're learning them, they haven't had to actually perform all the mitzvot in the Torah. It takes a long time to learn and get them to do it properly. And what Moshe is trying to impress upon them, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, things will get more stressful at this point forward, because now when we're bringing to Karbonis, what is the point of the Mishkan and the Karbonis? The point is, the Mishkan was necessary to show the Klal Yisrael that since they, when Moshe was gone and they had nothing to focus on in terms of a leader, after Matan Torah, when they saw the heavens open up and they experienced that, the revelation, but now there's nobody around. And when they came down, they needed something, and Hashem understands that, that they need V'yasu li migdash v'shochanti b'socham. What does that mean? You need something. I see that you people need something to look at, to see that God is around you. God is among you. And that's why when it says, Adam ki akriv mikem, I need, when you bring a carbon, it has to be not just yours, but it has to be a part of you. When you bring a carbon, it's there, but for the grace of God, go I, obviously. And what we tend to forget many times is that when we bring a carbon, how does it get done? Is the Kohen doing the whole? He does the avoda. The avoda is the sprinkling of the blood. But you, the person who brings the carbon, you have to do the shechita. You have to skin the animal, and you have to break it up into parts. It's a very labor-intensive work, but it's also, if you don't have the stomach for it, it could be very unpleasant for a lot of us today. I think if we were faced with all of these things to do, it would be very difficult to do. And, of course, that is part of the idea. Why did God give us the karbonos? Well, on one hand, of course, that's what the machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban is. Was it to just appease our need for bloodlust, or was it necessary for the reality of you need to be mechaper avonos, and each part of the avoda was for a different part, which certainly the Rambam would agree with to a point, but necessarily that could be all done with tefillah. But think about it. Was there any tefillah? Was there any tefillah in those days? What happened? So I need you to only focus on mikem. It has to be from you. You have to let it be part of you. When you bring a carbon, you have to really involve yourself in it totally. And that is what Moshe is trying to impart to Klal Yisrael when he wrote the Torah, and he starts off the parasha and it says, Vayikra. And of course, famously, we see that small aleph. But the small aleph, it tells us, we learn as children, that Moshe did it to show what a big honor he was, how humble he was, his humility was beyond belief. But the lesson was not for him. He understands that God knows how, if you're a humble person, you know that, and Moshe certainly being closer to God than anybody who ever walked this earth, but he understands that God understands what's in his mind. He certainly knows that. So he knows that God knows he's humble. The people see the way he acts, and who's he trying to teach? But what Moshe is trying to teach Klal Yisrael is, you're not me. If I am humble, the lesson is that I wrote the small aleph to teach you to be humble. Because if you are not humble, then how are you ever going to bring a carbon? How will you ever accept the fact that you did something wrong and now you have to atone for your chet? You now must bring a carbon and go through all this labor-intensive process of forgiving for your sin. And that's why we say when it says, as the Gemara points out, when it says, Asher Nasi Yecheta, it doesn't say if the Nasi, if somebody does a crime, of course. And the whole part of all the Karbonos is based on three words in the Gemara Harias, is O Hoda Elov. One has to accept the fact that he knows he did something wrong. If you do not know that you did something wrong, you're not even eligible to bring a carbon, because what's the point? I need you to realize that you've done something wrong. You were admitting human frailty. You were admitting that you made a mistake. And Ashrei the generation, blessed is the generation that has leaders who understand when they've made a mistake, and b'fnei amvo eido, in front of everybody, they are willing to, obviously, if a nasi, if a kohen gadol brings a carbon, then the aftermath of that carbon is going to be the entire country. It'll be on the 6 o'clock news, obviously, saying that the president came on or the king stepped forward and said, I made a mistake and now I have to bring a sacrifice and go through all of these things to sacrifice to shech the animal, to do all these things that I have to do it. I'm the same as anybody else. That is a humbling experience. Of course, Chazal mentioned that the king itself, if it's a king, he has his certainly his attendants, but he must go through the process of the shita. He has to do all these things. He's no different than anybody else. And, of course, he has to bring a much more expensive carbon, which certainly he should be able to afford. But the reality is, he's no different. And that is what Moshe is trying to tell us about all these things. I need you, before you're able to bring all these karbonos, before you take it upon yourself, which you're about to do, all of these things that you will be forced to do, I'm asking you to do, because as we see in the Haftorah, Yeshaya yells at Klal Yisrael. Basically, God is telling him to impart the Klal Yisrael. When God says to Yeshaya, Lamali Rov Sivcheichem, I don't need your karbonis. But they had no tefillah. If there was no Mishkan, if there was no Beis HaMikdash, what was the life of a Jew before there was the concept of putting on your talis and tefillah in the morning and davening for a half hour, saying chakras, saying mincha, saying ma'ariv? It did not exist. Your life was karbonis. And if you live in Eretz Yisrael while they were in the Midbar for 40 years, they were in very close proximity. But once they get into the land of Israel, they're spread out. And you do not see the Mishkan, and you do not see the Beis HaMikdash, except, and that's why God was set upon us the law to be Ola Regel, to be for Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, at least three times a year to go and reacquaint yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring you to go into the Beis HaMikdash, and you couldn't just go out the same way you came in. You had to experience, to have the entire experience come in and go through whichever way you came in. You had to go through, go out the other exit. There was entry doors and exit doors. Only the Kohanim could go out the same way they came in, because they're there constantly. But a normal person has to get the full experience to bring him closer to God. And this is what Moshe is trying to impart to them. If you're not humble enough, you're never going to bring that carbon, and you're going to distance yourself. And that's what we see happen to top it off in the Haftorah, that after Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael for years, they lost touch with God. They stopped giving Machzis HaShekel. They stopped bringing Karbonos. And they started to worship other gods. At least in the Midbar, after the Ma'aseh Egel, when they were in close quarters and had the ability to be in close proximity to the Mishkan, that would forestall any thoughts of Avodah Zarah. But that's the necessity of the Mishkan. This was where our focus. In today's day and age, we have our shuls where we go to at least once a week. Hopefully, those of us who can go every single day to shul those of us who can go to shul three times a day or at least twice a day, the Daven Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, we reacquaint ourselves, we get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It permeates our soul. And that's why that is what is an Ol or Reach Nichoah. When we say, may you go from Chayil El Chayil, what that means, the implication of that phrase is to go from the Beis HaKnesses to the Beis HaMedrash. After you have brought yourself closer, that Makriv Kol Ho, you learn the Hilchus Karbonis, it's like you are Makriv a Karbon. You're bringing yourself closer with your tefillah. And that's what we're left with today. So we go to shul and we pray. If we do it privately, at least we're putting on our accoutrements that we need for tefillah. We put ourselves in a right frame of mind. And that is the same thing as Adam Ki Akriv Mikem. If we focus and we start to have the kavana that we require for davening, then that's Adam Ki Akriv Mikem. May we attain that level. And those of us who haven't attained that level, unfortunately, there are so many people who are unaligned, or as I like to say, they've been misaligned. They need an alignment, adjustment, obviously. And hopefully that we set examples for other people and they see how we live. And that is the purpose, the small aleph. That's why we need the karbonos, because that was the only thing that kept us in touch with God those few times. And that's why we needed the Mishkan, for something to see and experience the miracles that we discussed last week that were in the Mishkan every day when we see it. How did all these things operate? There are so many miracles every time we came, all of the things that we learn in Perek, all these miracles. Seeing that reinforces our belief to let it permeate, so that when we daven and we think about it, we have Mechavin Libo L'Shamayim. Have a very good week. Thank you very much.